Good morning. What a beautiful day today is, yes? Yes. Amen, right? So this has been kind of like a harder week for me this week, just balancing and trying to like hold good boundaries in some of the things that I'm doing, but also like learning how to love really well but not be savior, you know, because I'm not the savior, right? But sometimes I think I am in the moment, and I try to do these things, and then I'm humbled really quickly. I am humbled heavily. And so I just want us to all to kind of just breathe in his presence right now, because he's here with us. And anything that you think that you've had to take care of or that's been a burden to you, he promises that our burdens are to be light, because it's his yoke, right? And so, Father, we just lay these things down to you, God. We set these things before you, Father. Any thoughts that aren't of yours, God, that they would just be cast out into the sea in Jesus' name, and that our minds would no longer be busy, but present to you right now, Father. We give this time as a precious incense, Father, to glorify you, to thank you, to magnify you in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for saving us and being our Savior so we don't have to be, God. Thank you for wanting relationship. Thank you for wanting to be intimate with us, God. If you have a heavenly language, just begin to speak it out. And if you don't, just begin to give him thanks for the things that he's done for you in this week. You know, I just want worship to be just that, that we're not distracted by our phones, that we're not distracted by our friends, but that instead that we are focused in on the one who gave us these things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In scripture it says that the saints fall before him, casting their crowns, saying, holy, 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 holy. And Jesus, we just magnify you. We thank you, God. You are glorious. You are matchless in every way. And we give this time to you, Father. We invite you to be here with us in a tangible way, Lord, that you would fall heavy in this place. God, that any and all things that aren't of you would just be blown away because your presence is so tangible. In Jesus' name. Yeah, we worship you. We worship you. Amen.
Yeah. Oh. You I sometimes those offerings can be pretty tattered. Because what he wants in our offering is us and ourselves. He wants the good. He wants the bad. He wants the secret wrong thoughts. He wants the outright love. He wants every single thing of us. And we are tattered. Life beats us up. But that's what he wants us to bring to him, is all of us. Every day. First thing in the morning. Every time you mess up. When you have a celebration. He wants it. It belongs to him. We belong to him. We are his offering.
Says, Lord, you love us. You love us with an everlasting love. You begin the love process in us, Lord. Even when we weren't thinking about God, you were loving us. And Lord, you teach us to love. You teach us to love you first, Lord, and then we can love others. So Lord, we receive once again into our being, Lord, your love today. The love of God that has been poured out in our hearts, Lord, we receive it, Lord. We focus on, Lord, your love right now. Your love that you demonstrated, Lord, when you hung on the cross for us, Lord. When you took our sins, Lord, upon yourself, Lord, so that we could be the righteousness of God. Lord, thank you for that amazing love. Thank you for that incomprehensible love, Lord. the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the Creator of all things, loves us. Makes no sense. Doesn't make sense in our natural mind, Lord. But right now, by faith, we receive the truth that you love us, Lord. Because you love us, Lord, we can love you back. And we can love others. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in every heart right now. Lord, those that have felt distant today, Lord, that you're drawing them to yourself right now in a supernatural way. That your love is being wakened in them, Lord, once again, Lord. And that they're experiencing, Lord, the love of God that's already there. It's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing, the things that we can see you're doing and the things that we can't see you're doing. Lord, we know that you're working in each and every one of us right now. And by faith, Lord, we believe we're not going to leave here the same. Lord, we're not going to leave here as we came, Lord. We're going to leave changed with a fresh awakening of the deposit of God that's in us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Take a few moments, greet each other. We will be back in just a few. Thank you, team. Great worship.
All right. We are going to get into our declarations. I want to really quickly mention the worship night last night. We were over at the Yakima Convention Center, and it was a powerful night. And so it was really exciting to just see students. It wasn't just students to see people engaging with Jesus. And so, there's nothing much to say other than that we worshiped God and that students were excited. People were excited about Jesus. Our very own Skyly Rain was one of the worship leaders up there. And so the whole team was made up of students, and it was just awesome. Young people worshiping Jesus. There's nothing like it. So we're going to make this declaration. If you guys would stand with me, we're going to do the heart of the house. And this is something we're going to speak over our house and over the houses of all churches in our city. And just we're going to believe mighty things for God to move in our city or in our church. Amen? Yeah. All right. So let's do this together on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Jesus, we just thank you so much for our house, God. We thank you so much, Lord, that you love this place. You love this house, God, and you're moving here, God. We thank you, Lord, for the moves of God that we don't even see with our physical eyes, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to be here, continue to bless us with your presence in everything that we do, Lord, from the fellowship to the word to the worship, God, the events we do and so forth, God, that you are in it with us through every step of the way. And so we thank you, Father, so much for our pastors. We thank you so much, God, just for what you're continuing to do in this house. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Did you want to do this part, Pastor, or do you want me to do it? I got it. Okay. So for those of you that have been here the last few weeks, we started a Bible plan together as a church. We are on day 10. And so if you haven't jumped on, you are more than welcome to. You could.
Day seven.
Sorry, it was the 10th. And so we're on a day. And so if you want, you can jump to where we are today, or you can just start with us and read. We're reading the book of John. And it's just really awesome to be in unison together. So we are using the Bible app. If you want to join, you have to have Pastor Mike as a friend on the Bible app to do so. You just look at Mike Lindell, and there's many Mike Lindells, but there's only one with his picture and Gaylene's picture on there, and then you could join us and do that. Next one.
Sorry, guys, I have a baby asleep on me. But I did want to tell you, I finally got the roster printed out. This is not representation of One Life Family Worship. This is representation of Nancy Lopez, because I'm stick in the sand simple. I like it to be recreated. Very basic. Please fill out the information as asked. There's your name, your phone number, and whether or not you've registered. And also, I forgot the carpool thing. So if you are interested in carpooling, please put carpool next to it. So then I'm aware of how many are wanting to travel together, so that I can find out how much we're going to need to be able to put together so that we can fill the tanks for the people who are driving. All right. So, amen. Again, that's October 6th and 7th. If you have not registered, it's thefathershouseint.org. The 10th is the last day to register for the 35 early bird registry. Otherwise, it's going to bump up to 45. And it's in Sutherland, Oregon, so it will be quite the drive, but I think it's going to be a blessed thing. Lots of women having a good time together. Amen?
Amen. And then last but not least, thank you for giving. Thank you for just pouring your tithes, your offering into this house. Most of you know all the ways to give online or in the boxes. And again, like I say every Sunday, it just doesn't go unnoticed for you guys to be generous givers, giving to our house, keeping the lights on, keeping the air on, keeping the heat on, and so forth. And so thank you guys for doing that. Pastor Mike?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I was, Gay and I were at the youth event last night, and at one point our age was starting to show because of the rapper that took over. And I looked at Gay and said, I don't understand what he's saying. It must be a special language that he's using. But what he was saying was definitely ringing true with the hearts of the individuals that were there. He was speaking their language, wasn't he? And he was excited about Jesus. He came from a life, sounds like he was basically like a fence sitter and doing things, because he sounded like he grew up in the church and not following the things that God had put in his heart from early age. And so he went out and did his own stuff. And when he came back to Jesus, he's radical. And you know what? It shouldn't be something that we just have one person or a few people that are radical. Really, all of our lives should be radical to those that are around us, that don't have an opportunity to know Jesus. When they come into contact with us, we should seem radical. Even though we may not be, you know, a rapper or, you know, or amazing singer, but just our life should be a radical change to people who have not experienced Christ before. And if it's not, then we need to evaluate. We need to say, Lord, are you reigning in my life? Are you reigning in life, in me? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about reigning in life. And what does that mean? It means literally to have a kingship for your life, that you have a dominion for your life. And I know that sounds radical, but it's what God intended for us. We're not meant to just live life normal. We're not meant to just live life just going through the motions. We're meant to live a radical life. And how many know that when you receive Christ into your life, that's radical? When you start living for Christ, that's radical. It goes against the norm. It goes against the standard flow of society. It's like we observe the masses and we do the opposite. Because what the masses do and have fun with and enjoy life with, or at least seemingly to, we don't have to do that. We don't have to participate in the sin and the degradation that is the fallen man. We have life and life abundantly within us. We have a life that should be addictive to others. You know, Jesus was addictive to others. They followed him all over the place because he was an addictive type person. When they got around him, they sensed something that they wanted. They sensed something that was lacking in their life. I always think of Zacchaeus. Here's a tax collector, and he is like wealthy, he has money, you know, but he is wondering, who is this guy that people are following? I mean, because he has a huge following. So he climbs up a tree because Jesus is addictive and he wanted to know what was going on. He's looking down and Jesus seems to be just walking with the crowds. All of a sudden he looks up and he says to Zacchaeus, "Hi Zacchaeus, I have to stay at your house today. It's necessary for me to stay at your house today because I've got something for you, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus is like, "Who, me?" "Yes, you." And so he went and he stayed there. And obviously we know that Jesus suffered persecution because of it, because Zacchaeus was not a person that people liked. Most tax collectors were on the low end of people's like, because they were taking money from people and a lot of times taking extra money from people. So Zacchaeus, after spending some time with Jesus, says, "You know what, Jesus? I'm going to give back money that I've taken from people. As a matter of fact, if I've stolen from anybody, I'm going to give them back three times as much." And he says, I'm going to start living the way that I feel you want me to live, because that life that I sensed from you, that way that you reign in life, I'm experiencing now. And so I want to live that life. So I'm going to change what I'm doing." And Jesus says, "You know what? Today, salvation has come to this house." Amen? Amen. All right. Let's talk about the scripture. It's Romans 5:17. "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. As we talked about before, when Adam sinned, we all fell into sin. When Adam died, we all fell into death. And when Jesus came and he gave his life as a free will offering and we received that, we then reign in life through the one. So we've talked about the one man's offense. We've talked about receiving the abundance of grace last week. And today we're going to talk about receiving this gift of righteousness. Those who receive, we talked about this idea of receiving. Receiving, you have to take something. You know, if I'm handing this, don't push any of the buttons because it'll go crazy. If I hand this to Caden, he has to take it. He has to receive it. He has to use his hands and he has to take it. When we receive grace, we have to receive it by faith. When we receive God's righteous gift, Jesus Christ himself, we have to receive it by faith. We have to do everything we do by faith. It says that if we don't do something by faith, it's impossible to please God. He's looking for us to believe by faith. He's looking for us to walk this walk by faith, not by sight. So here's another translation. This is the ESV. "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness." It's a free gift. Just like if I was to hand you like a $100 bill right now, if I had it extra and I gave, yeah, Eric, like, come on now. If I was to hand it to you, And you said, "Boy, I don't deserve that. I can't receive your free gift," you know. Well, it's like if we take what God has done on the cross and we don't utilize it in our lives, like I talked about last week, it's like leaving the faucet on. If we don't receive his abundance of grace, it's like we turned on the faucet and we walked away and it's just running and being wasted. Same thing with his righteousness. Because how many know that our own righteousness isn't going to measure up? Amen. It does not matter how good we think we are. It doesn't matter how amazing we think we've lived our life. Before I was saved, I thought I was okay because, you know, I had not shot anybody. I had not killed anybody, not robbed a bank. You know, I did things, but, you know, everybody did those things. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't think I was like all that bad. But then I came face to face with the truth that it was not how good I was in any way or how bad I was in any way. It was the fact that I had to receive Christ. He was the cross was what the gap that reached between me and heaven, me and God. And unfortunately, the abyss that was waiting for me was hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I'm just being honest. Yeah, it's a good reason. When Cal Ross was drawing out the salvation plan for me, and he started saying, "Now these are your own works, and you're crossing this bridge, but they run out." Then it was like, "Oh, you mean this is the alternative?" And then he spanned that distance with a cross. And he said, when Christ died on the cross, he made a bridge for us to God. And so I received him. I started following Christ. And you know what? My life changed. And little by little, I've been learning to reign in life. I've been learning to keep my flesh at bounds, because I say, you know what? Flesh, you're not in control of me. I'm a spiritual man. My spirit can control my mind, will, and emotions, and my flesh. That's the way Christ designed us. Jesus, when he came to earth, he was subject. That means that he was tempted in every single way that you and I have ever been tempted. Now, that's hard for us to imagine, that Jesus was tempted in every way that we were tempted. Yet without sin, though. He didn't let those Gay was asking me today, when did Adam's sin happen? When did Adam and Eve sin? I said, when they had purposed in their heart to do it. Yeah. Not when they did it, when they purposed in their heart to do it. It's no different than when Jesus said, you know what, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed the sin. In other words, you're already purposing to do it. That's when sin takes place. It's not when we're actually doing the act. Yes, that's the act of sin, but sin happens and is conceived when we are in the process of thinking about it, thinking about doing it. So this is a free gift of righteousness. And what is righteousness that helps us reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked. Hello? Went too far. Oh, it's acting up. There we go. How many have heard the term Jehovah's sick canoe? Not canoe like a canoe you ride in. Jehovah's sick canoe. It's actually a Hebrew word. And what it means is the Lord is our righteousness, and it's dropping down below. But it's from Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. It said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch." That's Jesus Christ. He was David's righteous branch. "And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Jehovah sit canoe. There's many names for God in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider, the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, the one who fights for us, the Lord of hosts, all of those terms about his lordship. But for us as Christians, what we can receive right now today and walk in is his righteousness. And what is his righteousness? What does it mean? Well, the word is dikaiosune, and it means, in a broad sense, the state of him who is as he ought to be. What does that mean? The state of him who is as he ought to be. In other words, you are existing as you're supposed to exist, as God intended you to exist, and as is, this says, the condition that is acceptable to God. Also can mean justice or the virtue which gives each his due. But we're talking about the state of him who is as he ought to be. In other words, as God designed you, as God created you, as his plan for you is, when we receive Christ in this righteousness, we become how God wants us to be. Now, maybe it not as everybody else wants us to be at first. I mean, it may be that not everybody gets us, but God does. How many know that if people don't get you, God does, because God created you. Amen. God may have made us unique and made us eccentric, and some people may be able to receive it. Others may just run from you. But God doesn't, because he created you the way you are for an eternal purpose. I like to say this. Those some of those quirks and those habits that you have that maybe don't really fit into this life, they're for eternity. And they're manifesting now. And maybe some people don't understand them, but they're for eternity.
Yeah.
In other words, how you have been made by him isn't just for here. It's for eternity. The things and skills that you have here today, they're not just for here. They're for eternity. Amen. It is good news. So it's the state of him who is as he ought to be. So if you're thinking like, oh, I don't think I'm as I ought to be, well, then receive his righteousness because you'll be who God wants you to be. You'll be exactly as he designed you to be because you won't be standing in your own self. You'll be standing in Christ. Well, there we go. Jumping too far. 2 Corinthians 5:21. How many have heard this scripture before? God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus, who was not sinful, did never commit a sin, never did an act of sin. Like I said, he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. But he became sin for us. Or he I like one translation said, he virtually was sin for us. In other words, when he hung on the cross, it was an offering to God for a sin offering. But he took our sins upon himself. He takes our sins, why? So that we can receive what? His righteousness. It's the great exchange. We were talking about exchange last night. That was the name of the event, was the exchange. And so we exchange our sorrow for his joy. We exchange our depression for his peace. We exchange our hate for his love. And we exchange our sin for his righteousness. In other words, we become as we ought to be because of what he did. When he said, Father, if there's another way, reveal it now. If not, I'm going to go this way because I want them to be righteous. I want them to be as you have designed them to be, not as they think they are, but as you have designed them to be, as you've created them to be, as was always in your heart that they would be your children, holy and without blemish, just like the bride of Christ. Here's another translation. This is the NIV. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, there's a key right there. It says might become. Why is that? Because it's by faith. We can become the righteousness of God if we receive it by faith. In other words, if we don't listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling us and telling us that we are righteous and that we can live differently. See, righteousness isn't a label that I wear. It's not like I put a sign on me and I say I'm righteous and then I just behave any certain way I do. My righteousness, it comes through Christ and then it creates a new behavior in me, which we'll see in another scripture. In other words, I'm no longer the slave to sin that I was. I'm a slave to righteousness. Right. Righteousness becomes my master. Being as God designed me to be becomes my master, not as the enemy wants me to be, as the world draws me to be. Amen. Thank you for the cheering section. I appreciate it. Complete Jewish Bible says it this way. God made this sinless man to be a sin offering on our behalf. I'm telling you, this is a great translation. You guys want to remember this. This says it all right here in the Complete Jewish Bible. They got it right. God made this sinless man to be a sin offering on our behalf so that in union with him. See, that's the key. How many have heard the term to be in Christ? That means to be in union with him. That means to identify with his death, to identify with his burial, to identify with his resurrection, and living those out in your life. Dead man walking. That's really what it is. It's no longer I who live. I'm dead. I'm a dead man walking. But Christ lives in me. I'm in union with him. And because of that, we might fully share in God's righteousness. To be as we ought to be. Think about that. There's many of us that struggle all the time with our behavior. And we say, what's going on? I'm a Christian. I shouldn't act like this. Well, get in union with Christ and receive his righteousness. Now, when I say receive it, I mean like this. Lord, speaking it out loud, I receive your righteousness, just like you received Christ. Lord, I choose to walk in your righteousness because I believe when I do that, my behavior will change. But see, it can't just be some mental assertion we make in our head. There's many of us who have a lot of stuff in our head, and it's got to get from our head to our heart. We've heard that before. And it's a long journey. But sometimes we just have to start walking it out and saying, Lord, you said I'm righteous. I'm believing I'm righteous. I know my behavior kind of looks, you know, like it's an alternative to walking in righteousness, but I'm believing that you're going to change my behavior as I receive your righteousness. Okay. Yes, that's right. Romans 3, 21 through 23. New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God, that's the same thing as righteousness, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Doesn't matter what our past is like. Doesn't matter how we're acting today. Doesn't matter our belief systems previous. Today, if we believe that by faith and in faith in Christ, that we will be made right with God. And then it says, everybody has probably heard this scripture before, for everyone who has sinned will all fall short of God's glorious standard, or for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have. But you know what? We don't have to live in that. You know, there's a saying, we're just sinners saved by grace. That's a cop-out. I'm sorry, but it is. We're sinners, but we have been saved by grace, but we're no longer having to live in sin. That's right. The we are sinners saved by grace is used when your behavior is bad. Oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm saved by grace. For grace we have been saved, right? Through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace, but we're also the righteousness of God. I don't think God gets mad if we say, like, I'm not going to sin anymore. I believe that by faith. I'm not going to be not as I'm supposed to be anymore. I'm going to be as God created me to be, in righteousness, in Christ. It's radical thinking. Remember I said we're radical? Yeah. Don't you think we'd be radical if we got around people and we didn't sin? We didn't talk back. We didn't get angry. We didn't, you know, these things, be angry and sin not. We can get frustrated with what people do. But I'm talking about to the place where we're getting vengeful. I'm talking about a place where we say things we shouldn't say. I'm talking about behaviors that we show, faces that we make, whatever it is. If we started living like that, they go, who is this person? Right. That person just dissed them and they're like, hasn't even affected their day. Why? Well, because if they're dissing me, they're dissing Christ. If they're persecuting me, they're persecuting Jesus. It's on him to take care of that. As we believe in things in faith, we can move through very, very difficult circumstances. Philippians 3, 8, and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. See, as Christians, as we walk in this Christian faith, all of a sudden, we can start having a righteousness of our own. We can start thinking we got it together. We can start thinking, you know what? I used to be this way. I don't do those things anymore. I'm pretty good. And so we start relying on our own behavior. We start relying on our own works. We start relying on our own intentions and heart instead of God's intentions and God's heart for us. And when we do that, we end up casting off his righteousness. Because we're not by faith holding on to it anymore. Because we're standing in our own works. Just like I was when I said, oh, you know, when I'm sitting down with Cal and we're going over this big crevice and he's starting to build. Yeah, that's me. I haven't done any of those things. And then he got to the end where all my works didn't add up because they weren't very good works anyway. And that the alternative was hell. So we have to rely on, and we have to put all of our confidence in the work of the cross all the time. Not part of the time, not just when we get saved, every day. Yeah. The work of the cross is a continuous work. Remember last week when I was talking about that receiving? It's a constantly receiving. When we're constantly receiving his abundance of grace, we're also constantly receiving his righteousness. We're never relying on ourselves in our own spiritual condition. We're never saying, I've got it all together, even though I did before in the past. It seemed like the more things that I did to try to please God, the more like I would feel like okay, I'm finally getting it, you know? And then all of a sudden, I would mess up. I would do something that wasn't right. And now my behavior made me feel condemnation, made me feel shame. And I would push myself back from God. You know, when there was meetings and stuff, I wouldn't go and go to the meeting because I would feel guilty. So my standing in my own works, standing in my own abilities, eventually led me to be distant from God, not closer. It's when we're empty, you know, it's when we're saying, I can't do this on my own. It's when we're basically basket cases where we need God all the time, that without him, we're messed up. That's when we're strong. What did it say? When we're at our weakest, that's when his strength is perfected in us. Amen. Then it says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about reigning in life, right? Let's go back to what we're talking. We're talking about having dominion over, not in such a way, like I said, we're domineering over others. No, we're domineering over our own body, soul, mind and flesh. All of this that seems to be captured by the world, we're domineering over. We have dominion over it. But it requires us to receive his righteousness and walk in his righteousness daily, constantly. Because if we don't, then we won't be reigning in life. The alternative is we are going to be struggling. We're going to be challenged with the works of the enemy. You know, one of the scriptures I was memorizing Ephesians is the part about the whole armor of God. And you know, one thing I've noticed in memorizing it, that it says it twice. One time he says, put on the whole armor of God. Another time he says, take up the whole armor of God. In other words, it's an action. Now, in my early days, I actually, did anybody else do that? Put it on? And it's like, I'm putting it on, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that because that's an act of faith. But really, what we need to do is receive what? This truth that he talks about. This righteousness that he talks about. This gospel of peace that he talks about, that we live in that. That it's on our feet means that we walk in the gospel of peace. We carry ourselves in the gospel of peace. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. there's something about we have to receive those by faith. We have to realize that even though we don't see them, even though they don't really, I mean, when I put my hand up, I don't see a sword of the Spirit. Or when I hold the Bible, I don't see a sword. Or when I'm using my faith, I don't see a shield. But Paul's trying to demonstrate that there's power in what we've been given. Yeah. That it's more than just, they're more than just words. You know, Jesus said, "My words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they are life." We just read that, right? In John 6, "My words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life." When we read the word, when we read that part in Ephesians 6 where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might," to put on the whole armor of God so that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so that we realize we're not warring against flesh and blood when we're starting to interact with somebody in the human realm and realize, no, wait a minute, there's something behind them. When we see people on TV that seem to be, you know, sending the country into the abyss that we're talking about, realize that there's something behind them, that we shouldn't just be mad at the person, that we're fighting a spiritual battle here. That's by faith. You have to believe that by faith. Same way, you got to believe that you're living your life in a spiritual battle. And that you do need all of the tools that God gave us, including his righteousness, including his grace. And if we don't receive them, then the contrary is that the enemy's going to have his way with us. You know, another encouragement you hear a lot in the scripture, do not be deceived. In other words, don't let others tell you different. The truth is what I'm about to tell you. Don't be deceived. Right. See, one thing that we, and I've been meeting with somebody every week, and I realize that one thing that a lot of us take for granted is that we're spiritual beings. We take for granted that we are an entity that's not of this world. Right. That's what Jesus said. You know, we're just passing through. We're aliens. There are aliens on earth, and we are them. if you read the word. We're strangers and foreigners, we're aliens. This is not our home. But if we realize that we're spiritual, guess what? We'll put value in spiritual life. You know, I have some people say, you know, I just don't feel like going to church. And they give me a reason. I say, listen, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, you know, because they start feeling guilt, and I don't want them to feel away from God just because they don't go to church. But if you realize you're spiritual, if you realize that you are in the kingdom of God and that kingdom of God has power, guess what? You'll go to church. Because you'll not forsake the assembling together. Because you'll realize there's a transactional process that's going on where I'm receiving from your spirit and you're receiving from my spirit. And when we're worshiping, we're breaking down chains and strongholds and bondages off of our lives. But you have to realize you're spiritual. You have to realize that you're not just walking through this life just like some kind of robot. You have been put here for a purpose, and that purpose is to know God. And when you know God and you know him well, we do mighty exploits. They may not look like mighty exploits to everybody, but when you say no to sin, you just gave the devil a hurt. You're doing mighty exploits. You're causing his kingdom to shrink. You're causing the kingdom of darkness to diminish. And you don't have to do it just like on your knees in a prayer room or screaming at the devil. You tell him no to sin that he's had you in, and you say, nope, I'm done with it. And I'm going to walk in righteousness. He loses power. Amen. Did I get it all? I got it all. Okay, let's move on. I'm might have hit some. Oh, there it is. Okay. Romans 6, 18 through 19. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. What does this mean? Your members, your body. You're presenting yourselves to God. As Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Your body. If you have bodies, that's great. I don't know who, but he's speaking to the whole church. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. We present ourselves to God as slaves of righteousness for holiness. But we have to present ourselves. We have to yield ourselves to God. We have to make the choice not to walk in our own ways, not to walk in our own habits and patterns. It's easy to develop habits and patterns and just let those be the driving force in our life. But if we start realizing we're spiritual and we start valuing our spiritual life, you know what? Those habits and patterns will start losing their power. Because the spirit is stronger than the flesh when yielded to God. That's why Paul in his letter says, submit to God, or James, I think, submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Why? Because the spirit rules the flesh all the time. Now, if we give the flesh power, then the spirit is in the background. But if we give ourselves our spiritual life the due that it deserves, in other words, we put value in us being a spiritual being, the flesh will have to bow every time. The flesh will not win. If you yield to the spirit, what's it say in Romans 8? Walk in the spirit. You know, some of you are looking at me like cross-eyed, like, what are you talking about? Walk in the spirit, and what are we not going to do? Fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh. So if we yield to the spirit, the spiritual life, we will not fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh. It will not rule us. It will not have dominion over us. That's reigning in life. Not having a new Ferrari or a new Maserati or a great house. Nothing wrong with that. But reigning in life means we have dominion over who we are. We have dominion over this being so that it glorifies God. It doesn't glorify the kingdom of darkness. It glorifies God. And if we're glorifying God, guess who gets the worship and the praise and the honor and the glory? God, not us. Amen? Romans 6, 12, 13. This is back up a little bit. This is New American Standard Bible. Therefore, sin is not to reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the parts of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. In other words, you don't have to obey your lusts. And you don't have to keep presenting your body to sin as an instrument for unrighteousness. But present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead. Notice something here. What is necessary in that? Been talking about it. As those who are alive from the dead. We have to believe that by faith. We have to believe that we were once dead. Not just sinners, say, but we were once dead in our sins. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. We were once without hope. We were once without Christ. We were once in darkness, the kingdom of darkness. But now we can present ourselves as alive to God from the dead. And our bodies, the parts of as instruments of righteousness for God. In other words, this hand, these arms, these legs, these feet, this head, the mind, the heart, that is God's property. And I can present it to him, saying, Lord, you have your way in me. glorify yourself in my life. Let my actions, let my deeds, let everything that I say and do glorify you. That's by faith. That's walking by faith. It's not just a prayer, and it's not just a declaration. It's a presenting yourself by faith that you can walk out if you believe you're a spiritual being. See, spiritual things are foolishness to your carnal mind. And that just doesn't mean unsaved people. That's us as well. And if we don't realize that if we're not listening with our spirits, things are going to be foolish. We may say, yeah, in church, and that's a good word and everything, but we won't receive it because it'll be foolishness once we start pondering it. We'll start sloughing it off. We'll start saying, yeah, that works for some people, but not for me. In other words, we dismiss the truth because we're letting our carnal mind work with it. Well, Pastor, what do we do then? Because you're talking to our minds. I don't have to. You're a spirit. So if you say, Lord, help my spirit receive what he's saying. Help my being that you've created in the likeness of Christ, with the mind of Christ, receive the truth. Don't let the wah, 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 wah that my mind hears win. Let the truth that's being spoken. See, because I can't say every word perfect. I can't preach to every single one of you individually so that you hear. But the Holy Spirit can. That's why when people sometimes after a message, I know you've had this happen, Pastor Eric, they come up to you and they say, wow, when you said that, that blew me away. And I think to myself, I never said that. I mean, I said something like that, but I did not say that. That's the Holy Spirit. That person's hearing with their spirit, not with just their carnal mind. All right. 1 John 3:6-8. This is going to be a little tricky, but I want us to realize that there's receiving God's righteousness, this free gift, it's a free gift, has to be walked out. It can't just be declared. It can't just be says, I'm righteous, and then go live like the devil. It says this, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Oh, that's pretty clear, isn't it? No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. John was sweet. He had a way of putting things, but then he also had a real dark side. Sometimes he said things that just got right to your heart and challenged you, and this is one of them. Little children, let no one deceive you. Oh, there it is right there. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. And he is, as he is righteous. In other words, we've received God's righteousness, the free gift. Now we should practice it. You know, not practice it like we're practicing ping pong to get better. No, practice it by living in it, walking it out by faith, believing that my deeds are going to be righteous. And when they're not, ask for forgiveness, put it behind you, and walk forward. Don't put your hand to the plow and keep looking back. That's not just about, you know, that's not just about doing things for God. That's about your life. When you keep looking back and at your old behavior and your old ways, you're now focusing on those. Focus on what God's done through the cross. Focus on the finished work that you're about to step into. Let me finish. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Remember what I said about when we live holy and make choices in righteousness and deeds for God, that we're denying the devil's power in our lives, that we're taking away from his kingdom. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. A lot of people say, why did Jesus come to the earth? Well, right there is one of the main reasons. He appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So, you know, it says that he made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him in it, the cross. And so we think, yay, the cross did it. No, it's not just in the cross and it's just that he was resurrected from the dead and that, you know, he's now seated at the right hand of God, that's the spectacle he made of. No, he makes a spectacle every day when a sinner comes to him and their life starts walking in holiness. The kingdom of darkness shudders when we receive Christ and walk in holiness. When we change our mind and we've been walking with Christ and all of a sudden we go back and we start backsliding, when we turn back, it's like slapping him in the face. Because we're saying we're not choosing your ways. We're choosing God's ways. It's like worshiping him. That's why presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is our very beginning of worship. What we have when we say we have a worship service and singing, that's true worshipers who have been living their lives out during the day, now giving God praise and adoration. But worship, believe, begins really Monday morning and Tuesday morning at the job, at school, when you're talking to your mom and dad and you choose not to talk as Christ would talk to them. All of that is worship. That's the true spiritual worship is how we live. Let's look at this one more time. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, in other words, way, way beyond that, those who receive, grab hold of, the abundance of grace and of the gift, the free gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we're talking about reigning in life. We're talking about being successful as Christians, being world changers. And you know, the first world you need to change is your own. You need to change your own world before you're going to reach the world. You know, it said this way to people who were being called in the ministry, that they would have their whole house in order before they were to manage the household of God. No different for us. If we're really going to change the world, we need to let God change our world. We need to let him have permission to get into our business. The business that we try to keep hidden and secret and tucked away and not spoken about, we let him into that. Just as Vicki was sharing, all of our bumps and bruises and angers and frustrations, all of those things, we present those to him and say, Lord, help me with these. Help me change as you have already changed me in Christ. Let my being now follow what you did on the cross. Let the work that you said was finished, now let it manifest. Let the righteousness that you've given me, now let it be part of my everyday life so that I can reign in life, so that I can be a world changer, so that I can be a light to this lost and dying world. And that people might come to me because I start to become addictive. Because as you start to look like Jesus, people want to know, where's this coming from? Some may come like they did to Jesus and say, what business do you have to act like this? And others may come and say, can I have what you have? Because it sure looks like you don't feel like I do. Feels like you don't feel the weight of the world on you. Feels like you're connected with something that's not of this world. That's what we have to offer the world, is a true life, a spiritual life, a life that is without measure. In other words, there's a life that we can live that none of us can anticipate or even put into words right now if we give ourselves completely to God. I didn't anticipate standing here like I am right now in front of you when I said, yes, I'll follow Jesus instead of going to hell. But I'm telling you, as I've surrendered and yielded and presented myself through the years, not always perfect, far from it, I can name in front of you, I can start confessing things that I have fallen short in, but I've always said, you know what? Somehow, some way, God's chosen me to be different. And so I'm going to believe that I'm different. That simple act of faith. And guess what? I changed. Changing from glory to glory. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But you know what? I receive it. I receive it every single day. I receive it with joy. I receive it with sometimes confusion because I don't know why I'm receiving it, but I receive it by faith. And when I do, it works because the gospel changes us. The word of God transforms us. We will not remain the same. And if enough of us change, we'll help change this world that's heading down another course right now. It's not going to be a president. It's not going to be a Congress that changes us. Too many people have already gone to the dark side. They need the light of the glorious gospel to shine so bright into their hearts that they just realize that there is hope for their life instead of the sadness and darkness that they live in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you that you are the one, Lord, that has given us this free gift of righteousness. And Lord, we just receive it now, again, right now into our lives. Lord, we choose to walk in your righteousness. And Lord, help us to be slaves. Slaves of righteousness, Lord, that we won't just try to do it, Lord, but we'll literally be slaves to it. That we'll have to yield to it, Lord, because we are in you, in union with you, and we cannot do anything but be a slave of righteousness. And Lord, I pray that as we receive that, as we receive abundance of grace, Lord, as we realize that as Adam died, Lord, that we died with you, Lord, on the cross. And Lord, that we've been crucified with you. And Lord, because of all those things, Lord, we can now reign in life through you, the one Jesus Christ, the one who gave it all for me, the one who gave it all for us. So Lord, right now, right at this moment, help us all to connect by faith with the truth that you became sin who did not know sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
just thank you so much that because of the righteousness you freely give us, Lord, we could freely receive. And God, I just pray that today as we leave this place, God, that we would walk in that truth, Lord, and as hard as it is for maybe some of us to freely receive that, God, that you would begin to work on our hearts, God. You'd begin to work on our minds and on our spirits, God. Lord, that you would condition us right now, God, to be sons and daughters, to receive all that you're pouring out for us, God. That we would not, like the illustration pastor said, we would not turn on the faucet and walk away, God. Lord, but we would turn on the faucet, we would drink fully, Lord, from your goodness and from your righteousness and from your glory. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you freely give it, Lord. Nothing that we could earn, nothing that we deserve, God, but that we could freely receive it in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, for every person here, God, every home represented here, God, that we would walk in this righteousness, Jesus, that we would be sons and daughters that walk in your righteousness, God. And I just pray blessing upon blessing over every person here, over their health, over their finances, over their families, over their marriages, over their minds, over their spirits, God. And we would come into alignment with you, Jesus. And we just thank you, God. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you guys.
He's got a hug
next week. It's every week.